Feel the song books marked 280. Good to see everybody out tonight. And we're going to talk tonight about the subject of joy. That's our subject matter, joy and happiness, I believe is how I titled the lesson. Last Sunday night, we talked about lessons we learn from suffering. And that's always one of those lessons everybody's excited about, right? I mean, it's kind of like, who wants to hear about root canal? And, you know, we realize things happen in life, that we do learn lessons from bad things that happen. But I happen to agree with a young lady met a number of years ago down in Trenton, Florida. We was down there for a gospel meeting. And then Trenton, Florida is a very agricultural type place. They have a lot of watermelons being grown there and farming is going on as far as horses and livestock, other kind of livestock. And the 4-H is very big in that part of Florida. It's old Florida, what we call it. And a lot of the young people are involved in that. In fact, when they have their 4-H fair, that they shut down the schools that week. And because so many people are involved in it. So a lot of the young people raise livestock, cattle, hogs, something else to show. And part of it is there's an auction at the end of it. And this young lady had raised a heifer. She had bottle fed it, she had trained it, got where she could lead it by a rope, and she could show it off. And so one of the things they do is they have this auction. And usually at the auction, the animals bring a pretty good price. People are trying to encourage young people to keep on raising these animals, and it's needed money for a lot of these young people to go to college or to buy things they need. And so her calf came up for sale. And her mom was saying this to us. She was in our presence. Mom and dad was saying this to us. They said, well, something happened. And the calf right before them really, they got to be a bidding war. And so the price kept on going up and up. And everybody was kind of excited about the amount of money. And finally that calf sold. And it made really good money. Well, her calf was right next up there. And everybody was talking about the calf, first calf that sold. And her calf basically sold before almost anybody had settled down back in their chairs. And so it brought very little money. And it devastated her. I mean, she had spent all this time of training this calf, of feeding this calf, and she expected this great reward at the end, and it didn't happen. And she said, her mom was saying that they tried to take their daughter to the side and try to say, now from this event, you can learn something. This is one of those character building events in life. And her reaction back to us was what stuck in my mind. And she said, you know, I understand what my parents are saying, but the way I felt was my character is going to be bigger than I am. And that is, it's nice to learn from these character building events like that, where things are disappointing. But sometimes it'd be nice to actually learn from joyous occasions. To have something good to happen and say, I learned a lesson from that. When we look in the Bible, when we look at life, realize there are a lot of good things that we should appreciate, and there are some lessons we can learn from those good things. And James 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of the lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow turning. And how many times do we pray, do we thank God for all the good things we receive in life, and all the joyous occasions we are involved in? And so, what are some lessons we can learn from happy and joyous occasions, or happy and joyous self? Well, first of all, we want to make sure we understand what the words mean. And joy, anybody know, it's dictionary.com, so let's talk about it. In our general use of, in an English language, it says the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying, keen pleasure, elation. Okay, so that's something that really makes us really, really happy, is the idea of joy here. And in the Bible, it's more associated with the idea of gladness, to rejoice, usually more of an inward quality. And so that last phrase that catches my attention, and that is joy tends to be not necessarily because of everything happening around us being good, but it is our response inwardly when things are going on and we feel joy. And an example here in Acts 5th chapter, if you turn over there, you'll find that after Peter had preached the second gospel sermon, after they healed a man, and that created all this emotion, commotion here at Jerusalem, that we find the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, arrest the apostles. And they threaten them and tell them not to go out and preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And Peter there says, whether it's right in the sight of God to obey man or to God, you decide, but we're going to obey God. Well, at the end of that, they release them. And in that verse 41, it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know, they weren't really happy because they got put in prison. They weren't really happy because they were threatened. They were rejoiced because they did what was right. And sometimes when we have joy, other people may not always understand it. But because we know we are doing something good, it makes us feel good on the inside, is the idea of joy then. Whereas we think about happiness, or happy, again, dictionary.com says delighted, pleased, or glad as over a particular thing, characterized by indicative of pleasure, contentment, or joy. And so it uses the word joy in its definition. But again, when you look at the idea, it's more of outward circumstances. That brings us to the idea of happiness in our life. And you think about this. In the Bible, the word happiness is rendered blessed. And blessed means favored or find favored and praised. We think about the Beatitudes. And some translate it, blessed are those, and talks about the poor in spirit and the meek. In other translations, they'll say happy. And that's because that's what the word happy and blessed mean. They're same idea. And so we look at the Bible, we find things that made people happy. And in our lives, we realize there are things that make us happy. And in fact, when you think about joy and happiness, we may ask, well, what brings about those emotions in us? And I kind of thought thinking about it, you know, there are sometimes big things that happen that really makes us happy and brings about this great amount of joy. And it may be something like the birth of a child. Okay, that's a big thing that we rejoice over that, we're elated over that. As we had announced earlier about Travis and Shauna expecting a little pink thing, that we rejoice in that. Okay, maybe a wedding. Again, we rejoice in that. We're happy because of that big event that's going on. Or it may be your team winning the championship. I got thinking about Kentucky being Florida last night, and I put that in joy or happiness. Which column is it in? Well, you know, a lot of people say that's a big thing right there. Your team winning something really important, that championship that brings about joy, graduating. Finally getting that degree is one of those events that brings about joy. Being baptized, obeying the gospel is a joyous occasion. And seeing children obey the gospel will be joyous occasions. And so we could add to that list there all these big events that we say. But then also there are small events, little things, that can also bring about happiness and joy. And my first thing up here, some people may debate me about this. Some people may say, well, this really belongs in the first category of big things. But, you know, when you see your child take the first steps, that's something that brings about joy and happiness. When you get a raise, your boss calls you in and offers you or tells you to get more money per hour or get a raise, that brings about happiness. I don't know many people get upset about that. Maybe a warm hug from a child or from a friend that brings about happiness and joy to you. A friend coming to visit, unexpectedly come in and you haven't seen him for a long time. Those are the kind of events that brings about happiness. Being asleep late. I said little things bring about happiness. Maybe something like that. Just being able to have a day where you sleep a little bit later. And so these things happen on a more regular basis. But still they bring about joy and happiness in our lives. Well, you look at these things here, joy and happiness, and you realize that some of the things are inward and some of them are outward. In other words, some of these things may be things we have done, and other things because, well, we had just been blessed. Maybe another way of putting it. For instance, when you read about the angel coming to Mary, can you imagine being in Mary's position here? And look at the first chapter. We read there about the angel coming to Mary. And she tells Mary in verse 26, 27, we are introduced by this, and basically in verse 28, as you look at it, it says, and having come, and the angel said to her, what? Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. And in a lot of ways, Mary had simply lived the typical life of just a young lady. We understand there's a great quality she has, you study her life, but Mary could easily sit back and say, what have I done to actually deserve this? It's an external thing that happened and made her joy, or told that she had been blessed by God. Is what my point here. And there's other times you look and you see where people are happy and joyous because of something they had done. If you look over to Acts, the 16th chapter, when we read there about the Philippian jailer as he was taught the gospel of Christ, in verse 32, it said they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately he and also his family were baptized. But then verse 34 says, then we have brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. In that passage there, we see there's a reason, there's a connection between what he did and the joy and happiness. He obeyed the gospel. And so again, there are some things that we, makes us happy, but you stop and think about it. We really didn't do anything to create it. We didn't do anything to make that happen. I know that a fan of a team in the stands, or whether they're watching the television, you know, watching the game on TV, and you see your team there, it's coming down to the critical part of the game, and you're yelling at the players, or you're yelling at the referee, or you're all excited about what's happening. You realize, of course, that really what we do, either even when we're inside a stadium, or if you're watching television at home, what you do has zero effect on the outcome of the game. Okay? But that player didn't make that shot or didn't do that right thing because you caused it to happen. It happened because he did it. And when that team wins, what, how we respond? We did it. You know, we won. And we're elated because we have won the game. Well, actually, no, if they won the game, you got to cheer them on. But we get excited about that. On the other hand, it may be a case where we have done something. If you have a test and you've been studying for it and you cram for it and then you take that test and you get an A on it, you did something that created that elation. You is a direct result of your activity, your action. So in that case there, the joy and happiness is because of something you did. And so in that way there, we see a connection. Now, spend all that time talking about joy and happiness. Okay, what are some lessons that we learn then? When we have that happening in our lives, whether it's the team winning the game and we happen to be rooting for them, or whether it's something we had done. And so here I'll give you about three things. One is that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Often as we go through life, we have days of trials and days where things just don't work out for us. We have what I have termed here as dark days. You know, just things where we have worries and we spend a lot of time thinking about those things, but also realize that those aren't always what we face. There are days of light. There are days when things get better. And in fact, our lives will have a mixture of those things. We don't have a mixture of trials, and we'll have a mixture of good things happen in our lives. Think about some people, for instance. Think of King David. You read about the life of David, and you realize that his life in a lot of ways is like a roller coaster. I mean, there's a case there that David had been promised King Saul's oldest daughter. If he had done what King Saul wanted him to do, David goes out and does exactly what King Saul has requested of him, and David's delighted. But you look at 1 Samuel 18 chapter, and verse 19, it said, but half that time with Merab, or Merab, however you want to spell that, say that, Saul's daughter should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel the Mehilite as a wife. Now, how would you feel about that? You have your heart set on this one girl, a young lady, and she's given to somebody else. Now he goes on, so Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David. And so instead of receiving one daughter, he got the other one. And we think, well, you know, actually this one here loved him. And so which one was better? Well, David is excited about having this daughter. However, you read later on, and realize that she despised David. And their life, as her dad has trying to persecute David and kill David, they actually got to a point where she despised him. There are some good things. There are some bad things in his life. You think about, he had the loss of three children. He had two sons that rebelled against him and would have killed him if they had an opportunity, and they wound up dying. He had a child with Bathsheba that dies. And you think, well, those were dark days. And in fact, we read through 2 Samuel and read of David's lamenting over Absalom. As Absalom is killed, and David just, you know, the cries of Absalom, oh Absalom, my son Absalom. His heart was broken. But, you know, David had other children. And he had other blessings in his family. He was persecuted by his enemies. Again, some of those being his own sons. But at the same time, he was praised by God. Was it all bad for David? No, we look, we see there's some good things in his life also that he had in his life going on. Or I may think about Jesus' disciples. They followed him for 3 years. Think about that inner circle. Basically what I'm thinking about here. And you look at that and you realize that they got to see some amazing things in those 3 years. They got to hear the master teacher as he taught and followed him and simply all things they learned from him. And you know, they were persuaded that this man was the teacher. He's the son of God, as Peter had confessed. But yet, we understand that also they got to see some of the worst, or they got to experience some of the worst. Jesus, in John 14, verse 1, said, "Let not their heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are many mansions, that were not so would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And again, they were upset because he's talking about leaving them. That their sorrow, then that's why Jesus is giving those these words of encouragement. And you just think about the things they saw. They saw his death on the cross. And so that would have been sad. But in fact, in Luke 24, verse 41 said, "While they still do not believe for joy and marveled as they saw Jesus, as he appeared before them, they had trouble believing it. But verse 52 said, they worshiped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." They also got to see him at the resurrection. And so there's things when you look at in that case there, we realize that, again, there are good things and bad things that happen in our life. And so there's a balance there. There's times we should rejoice, there's times we're going to be sad. You know, we've read stories and probably have noticed stories about very successful people that talk about all the failures they had earlier in life. But then they found the secret to their success, whatever their endeavor was. And so that's one thing I think joy teaches us, that it's not all bad. A second thing that joy teaches us is joy and happiness are not self-centered. The thing about joy and happiness in our society, people are trying to attain it as if they would a flower, as if they would money. And they think that the way to obtain joy and happiness is to do what you want and to please yourself all the time. And so that's what they think. And really, when you stop thinking about it, the most joyous occasions we generally have, the happiest times we have, usually involve other people. Usually involves helping other people, doing good things for other people. A number of years ago, I thought it'd be great to be able to go and to maybe go to the Kentucky High School basketball Sweet 16. And so I thought about that idea of going, but you know, when you go by yourself, it's really not fun. It's just not any fun to go to a ball game by yourself. Because you need to be able to share with somebody else. And somebody said, here's a recipe for disaster. If you want this recipe. And they said, first of all, think constantly about yourself. Be self-centered. Okay? The second thing is talk incessantly about yourself. Make sure it's all about you. The third thing is use I as often as possible. You see the trend here? I think it's about me. The fourth thing they said is mirror yourself continually in the opinions of others. Let them determine your joy and happiness, in other words. It's about listening to everybody else. And the fifth thing is listen readily to what other people say about you. And they said, if you do those things, that's pretty well a recipe for being upset and sad and depressed all the time. But because everything is about you. On the other hand, if you want to be happy, then you have to, just kind of turn these things all around. Just do the opposite of these things. I always expect to be appreciated also in that list of things. If you want to be happy, the Bible says, first of all, serve God. Serve God and help other people. And again, that's what our lives are about. Philippians 2 chapter verse 1. Therefore, there's any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of hope, of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Have the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. In other words, it's not always about Jesus. Think about other people. And he gives us the example of Jesus as he left heaven, as he came here and died on the cross, that none of that was self-centered, self-serving. It was about others. And again, that's what brings about joy and happiness in our lives and makes us really happy in the long term. And so find joy by making others happy is actually what the Bible talks about. Now, as you do that, that means your happiness depends on you and how you handle life problems. Because I said earlier, you're going to have some good things happen, you're going to have some bad things happen. I've known various people that have had terrible tragedies in their lives, and yet they're happy. And then I've had other people I've known that have minor little things, and they are miserable people. It's not what happened, it's how they handled it. And so the Bible says, again, how do you handle life's problems? In Matthew 6, verse 34, therefore not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that is, again, how we handle it is going to determine how happy we'll be. Now let me, this kind of personal observation here, but I have never met a pessimist who's happy. Have you? Can anybody tell me, okay, this guy over here, this woman over here, that they are a pessimist, but I'll tell you what, they are a happy pessimist. No, I really can't imagine that. Now, most people are not, pessimists are not happy. And in fact, in comparing pessimists to the optimist, that 30% have higher rates of dementia. Okay, 40% have higher rate of anxiety. That would make sense. They're being pessimistic. Everything bad is going to happen to them. And so, they're just not happy. But then on the other side, optimists are happy. Now again, if I ask the question, do you know of an optimist that's miserable? It's just kind of a contradiction in terms, isn't it? And so when you think about optimists, they're happy people. And this here, 55% lower risk of death from all causes. Now again, compared to pessimists. And so basically they're saying they live longer lives as far as being optimists. 23% lower risk of cardiovascular death. And so it's easier on the heart. I have fewer problems with work or other daily activities. And they have increased energy. And they feel more peaceful, happier, and calmer. Okay, these are things associated with being an optimist. And so you look at that list and say, that's pretty good. That, you know, that it's kind of like being in the flow. I remember a number of years ago, I was talking about certain individuals. that are really happy in life, that no matter what they're doing, they're in the flow. If they're at work, they're doing their best. If they're at recreation, they're doing their best. Whatever it is, that's what they're concentrating on at the time. And then they're happy. And so it's how we handle it, again, that matters as our life problems. Now let me ask you a question after saying all this. Are you a carrier or a forgetter? I don't mean do you forget things like your car keys or if you carry germs, diseases. What I mean is that generally there are people that carry things like grudges. They remember every bad thing anybody's done, and they remember when somebody says something bad to them. Or are you a forgetter? That kind of person says, you know what, I just leave it by. I just go on. When we look in the Bible again, the Apostle Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That Paul said there are certain things in his life, and he recounts some of those for us before he obeyed the gospel, but he said, you know, brethren, I don't let those things interfere with my future. I don't carry those things with me. Those things were washed away by the blood of Christ. And so I'm not concerned about those things anymore. And that really is, again, a big part of being happy and joyous in life, is having the ability to go on. I'm not always being the victim. Now, again, my question here is, have you ever known a victim that's happy? I have not. And there are some people that always want to be the victim. But eventually you have to quit being the victim. You have to go on and learn how to deal and cope with life. And the last thing I would mention to you that joy and happiness teaches is simply how great heaven will be. We sing songs about heaven and talk about the joyous occasion of being with God and how wonderful heaven will be. Well, the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 28, said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. For those are the called according to his purpose. Now he's not meaning that you're never going to have a bad day. Or you're never going to have anything bad happen in your life. But he's saying in the big picture that all these things God has done for us has been for our benefit. Has been for our salvation. Has been so that we can go and be with God. And the pleasures, the cares of his life cannot compare to what God has prepared for us. We need to be thankful for our blessings we have. If you have good health, you have a loving family, you have material things, be thankful for those things. But realize that those things are temporary. And what's eternal is heaven. And Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. It's how we need to look at life and think about the joys we have, because these blessings here are not eternal. In fact, the John, the sixth chapter, Jesus is talking to the Jews, the Pharisees, basically, in that occasion, that they're talking about the manna that their fathers had received in the wilderness. And Jesus' point about that manna, if you look at John, the sixth chapter, in verse 48, he said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Comparison between the two. The physical and the spiritual here. And so our physical blessings are not eternal, but Jesus is. The eternal blessings are greater. They should give us greater joy in life as we go and as we go through things in this life. And so Paul, as he writes and ends his letter, 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, he says, I have fought the good fight, have finished the faith, have finished the race, have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so Paul, even in prison, could talk about the future in positive terms for him of going and being with God. And because life has its up and downs, as good days, bad days. But we have to remember to rejoice and have fun and enjoy the good things of life. But even these things here now are going to be temporary. We want to have the eternal joy, the eternal happiness of being with God. And so that's why Jesus died, not so that we'll have just a better life here, but that we have a better life in eternity. So tonight, as we have the song selected, of one encouragement, I decided to follow Jesus, that if you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come stand as we sing?